Again, great job, band. Thank you very much. Hey, Mark, I'm assuming Rachel hasn't seen you in that sweater. Okay, you'd be back on the available list probably. So, hey, a few months ago, as we were planning through the rest of the year when it comes to messages, we planned our Loving Your Neighbor series, and then we have these weeks, and then we head off into Advent, which starts right after Thanksgiving. And it just so happens that today is the day that we're talking about money, about stewardship, and yet it's the same week I have to announce our Thanksgiving and our Christmas offerings and what those will go towards. So, if you're honestly reformed in your theology, you'll say that God predestined that to happen, and that's what we're talking about. But it wasn't done on purpose, at least from the planning perspective. It's just how the calendar fell. And so I want you to watch this video, because this will explain a little bit of what we're going to be putting those offerings toward. Okay, as you can see, that's carpet. Now, that doesn't sound horribly exciting to many of you, unless you've been in there and you've smelled it. You've had events in there, and you're just going, oh, this just doesn't represent who we are as a church, and it's not really welcoming for the new person. Now, you and I, we can put up with stains. I can put up with stains. It's not an issue for me. But as we continue to be new life for the city and invite people into our home, we really want to put our best foot forward. And so there are three rooms, as we saw in the video. The youth room upstairs, the stairways on both ends, the multi-purpose room right across where all the kids are right now, which has all the different levels, and then there's the fireside room and those adjoining rooms. And so it's our desire to knock off whatever we can toward those projects. Again, a year ago, we talked in the annual meeting that I removed all of our upgrades from the budget so we can make budget, and these are just one of those extra things that we really need. And so and I was also told by Ryan, who filmed this, he goes, Juno, those rooms need painting too, and that's a part of the project too. So paint job and carpet, those of you who have a home will know the huge difference that makes. And it will bring us into this new century as we welcome new people. And as you use the rooms for your own parties and events. And again, we don't worship the space. That carpet has served us so well for so long, for so many different things. And it just comes a time when you need to replace it. And so we're a few years behind that cycle, and we're going to see what we can do for that. So if there are envelopes here, there are envelopes in the back. You just write in your check, Easter, Thanksgiving, or Christmas, and we'll make sure it goes to those funds, and as the Lord leads, as the Lord provides, we'll start to knock off those rooms as it comes to recarpeting those probably at the beginning of the year. So, let me pray. Again, God, for your presence, thank you for the band and the time they put into to creating a place for our hearts, for our voices to worship you, thank you. For everybody here today, those who have come in with heavy burdens, I just pray that you'll meet them where they're at today. And I pray that the thoughts of their hearts and the words of my mouth will be acceptable in your sight because you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, we're going to spend today, as I mentioned earlier, talking about money, talking about stewardship. And I know for some of you that's going to hit some buttons. But again, you need to be reminded that this topic is mentioned over 2,000 times in Scripture. It's a huge issue in Scripture, and we just need to talk about that. But I want to also bring you up to date with some facts, and some of you may know these. Money is a big issue. 37% of marital problems are financial problems. Some of you are thinking, yeah, I'm probably hitting that 75% of our arguments. But on the average, 70% of people are living paycheck to paycheck. So we know there's a struggle out there. The average family, if there's a needed repair for your car or for your home, that's why I'm thankful I rent right now, but if there's a needed repair of $1,500 or more, what do I have here? Most people, the average family, is going to have to put that on a charge card because they haven't saved. They don't have $1,500 to their name. And then finally, 46% of the population here has less than $10,000 saved toward retirement. And you know, folks, those are just not encouraging facts. And so money is a big issue. And I really think that we need to dive into that, maybe more than just once a year. And that's why we've given you the, Paige, can I have one of those books, please, the 20-Day Stewardship Guide. And if you didn't get one last week, they're available again at our guest center. They're available in the lobby. But this is an opportunity for you on your own, with a spouse, to work through what it talks about in Scripture. Again, it's not a 365-day journal. It's 20 days. And I got busy on Tuesday. I forgot Tuesday, so Tuesday was the 4th. So I picked it back up on Wednesday the 5th, because it's very easy to follow per day of the week, and then made up my 4th, the study on the 4th. But even on day 7, you can look this up in the Bible in front of you if you want. It's in 1 Timothy 6:10. It's on page 831 in the Bible that you have. And if you notice, we've swapped out Bibles. We've got a version a little bit more user-friendly for you that are in your chairs in front of you. And as always, if you need one, feel free to take it. There's not an IBM chip in there that we're going to monitor where it goes. We're just thrilled that you have it. And so why don't you go ahead and look at page 831, and I'll just read it off the screen. I'll save my glasses. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Folks, again, let me just say here, we're not saying money is bad. It's really the love of money. No one is saying here that a nice home is bad, a nice vehicle, wonderful vacations. I made some joke last week about iPads, iPhones, and iPods, and those aren't bad things. It's when we almost worship those things. You know, carpeting isn't bad, but if we worship it, and there's something wrong with our priorities then. And so rest assured that you're not going to be hearing me up here today saying that money is bad. You know, in Scripture, many people have lots of money. Money is a good thing if we use it properly, like all of our gifts. So anyway, so that's just a little bit from your 20-day devotional. And again, look it over. If you're in a life group, you know, feel free to talk about it. Say, you know what, I didn't agree with this day. Or, boy, this day sure rubbed me the wrong way. Or talk it over with your spouse. What did you think about today? Talk it over with yourself and God to think, okay, do I have a good perspective on this issue that is definitely in Scripture, as well as is very prevalent in our world today, the issue and the subject surrounding money. And again, I am just confident that, in a crowd like ours, that money and the lack of it may not be as talked about as we think. Well, I do think that as parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and parents, you probably, do your best to help your child to learn how to not be selfish. In fact, we've all heard the stories about you don't have to teach your kid to be selfish, they just sort of are. Except my daughter was never, no, okay, just joking. but no, I mean, that's just a natural part of who we are. We're just selfish. And yet, I know many of you growing, as you grew up, had kids, your grandkids, you try to influence them, I'm sure, with how to share. And so that is a very good thing. And yet, on the same token, I know that many of us don't talk about, in a deeper level, our financial crisis with anybody. Oh, we'll be in a life group, in a small group, and we'll talk about politics. We'll talk about who won and who didn't and who should have voted. We'll talk about what's going on maybe with the kids. We'll talk about some safe things. But are you really going to open up and say, we are ready to go down the tube financially? Or this investment was the worst thing we've ever done. We thought it would take us on, we thought it would be our major retirement, and it's not. And so many people just live in silence of not being able to talk through this issue of finances. In fact, it's been said that people will talk more about the issues of intimacy in the bedroom than they will their struggles with finances. It's become the new, let's put the mask on and pretend I'm really okay. Because it's really easy to do that. Zero interest loans, low interest loans, they'll make your first payment or two, and all of a sudden, you're looking good. But if you pull back the mask just a little bit, I'm convinced there's a lot of people struggling with the issue of money. And so I'm going to, again, spend a few days, you're thinking, well, here we go, a few moments today just to talk about stewardship. And again, folks, in the world, they talk about it. They change it up a little bit, but let's be honest. You know, whether it's politics, the PTA, your local governments, civic organizations, they all talk about stewardship. I know what it's like to be a parent. They want you to get involved. They want you to show up. They want you to give to these fundraisers that are just, a $20 gift gives $4 to the kids. But, they're doing everything they can, and it's really all about stewardship. Now, the political campaigns, it's like they want people involved, knock on doors, to hand out this, to do that. They want your money to help get the certain person in office. That's all those issues of stewardship, your time, your talent, and your treasure. Social agencies, the same way counselors would say, if you're depressed and if you're upset, you know what? Why don't you help somebody? Get the focus off yourself and help somebody else. And so even taking the faith element out, the element that we know God has bred into us, our society is really always talking about stewardship. And they're doing a pretty good job, because I tell you, there's a lot of save the seals, save your dog, a lot of money going to those political campaigns, and yet we remain having people starving to death, homeless, struggling to make ends meet. Now that probably sounds a little political, but that's okay. Money's being given by the millions, because people have somehow tapped into that giving, and it's time that the church, again, addresses it, not beat you over the head, because I think that has been done too much. And so today I'm not going to beat you over the head on some things. You know what? There is no need for me to play the guilt card. There's no need for me to make you feel guilty about what you're not giving to the church. I can leave that up to God to move in your heart. That is not my intent today. There's no need for me to tell you that God has designed each of us to give. It's a part of our DNA, the idea of giving and helping others. And I think, again, most of us, whether you're in the church or out of the church, that's just a theme in the world. Why? Because it is better to give than to receive. So I'm not going to beat you over the head in that and trying to twist your arms to help out with things. I think we all know that somewhere, if I'm not giving, if I'm not helping, I'm out of balance. And finally, you don't need me to say you need to find somebody to help you manage your resources. Or as a person who loves Jesus, you need to be a good steward of your life and of your resources, and you need some help to do that. Or you need to actually manage your resources better. We all know that. We all know that every month when those bills come, oops, I thought I was going to get that check and it didn't happen. And now, how am I going to pay for this expense? So you don't need me to tell you those or to beat you over the head on those issues. I think we really need to remember that Jesus loves us, each and every one of us. And it's not pivotal on what we give. Again, we talked the art of neighboring, about who comes to the table that God sets for us, and that God does, that nobody's entitled to be at that table. Meaning, whether you're giving some stuff, giving some money, helping, you're a righteous pastor somewhere, no matter who you are not entitled to be at that table unless you've opened your heart to Jesus. And in the same way, nobody's excluded from that table. No matter what you've done, where you've been, who you voted for, you're not excluded from that table. Well, we need to apply that to our giving as well. And I think at times there's been a guilt trip. You're still going to be at the table if you've opened your heart to Jesus. And so as we talk about this, and as you, beyond this, whether it's in your 20-day journey or every month when those bills are due, you process and rethink and wish you didn't or wish you should have, know that you are loved by the Creator of God no matter what you give, no matter how much or how little. And I think that's just important for us to remember. You know, I really look at giving as I do the subject of forgiveness. Because we all know we need to forgive. Because if we don't forgive, those walls get built, and it is almost impossible for me to break through that wall and further my life and to be who I am if I haven't conquered the issue of forgiveness. And I think stewardship is the same thing. We know we should, but unless we dive into that and figure that out somehow, we're never going to be who we should be. Again, as forgiveness, I can play the game and, yeah, I forgive that jerk who did this, or I don't have an ex, but if I had an ex, or, when I got ripped off by the builder, I guess I can play the game that I've forgiven, but have I really forgiven? And we can play the game that, oh, yes, I love Jesus with all my heart, my soul, my mind, and my money, but if you haven't, you know that. And so let me just share some very practical tips for us. This is not the end of the message, so don't think, oh, Juno's landing the plane early. Nope. But I just think we need some practical tips. Some of you know it, some of you don't. So let me just share a few things here. The first one's going to be, it's simple, write it down. Write down what you're spending. If you use an ATM or a debit card, it's amazing to go back through that and say, how much money was spent at Starbucks? That just adds up. Or my little weekend trips to Lowe's or Home Depot? Look at this, and what's going on here? How much are we spending in gas? Okay, something needs to change here. So write it down. The first step toward anything is knowing reality. Write it down so you can see everything you're spending your money on. Secondly, let's take a look. Is simple, positive and negative. What money is coming in and what money is going out? Those can be just big figures, and all of a sudden, you may need to adjust something. You may either need to increase your income legally somehow increase that income, or you need to decrease your spending. Because otherwise, the cycle is going to continue, folks. And you're never going to be in a great place where you could give as God leads you to give. So that's simple, and I know it's easier said than done. The third thing is the envelopes, and I've talked about it before. Very simple. Oh, I was going to bring them, and I forgot. Take a stack of envelopes, and you just write down what your bills are each week or what comes out of your paycheck on that envelope. So if it's for your car payments, your insurance, your cable, your phone bill, your food, vacations, medical, and then you just stuff those envelopes every week with, or whenever you get paid, with the proper money. So I was on vacation a couple weeks ago, and I didn't spend nearly as much money as I thought. Yes. And so my sister says, oh, good. That's going to help you when you come on your next vacation. I says, no. She goes, what do you mean no? Don't you have the envelope system? I said, yes. I said, but you know what? And I hadn't decided a few weeks ago. I says, we're going to probably have some type of a Christmas and Thanksgiving offering, and so I'm going to probably put it in that. And she goes, you're kidding me. I said, no, it's extra. You know, I save monthly for my vacation, so this is extra. And so that's just a way that I can give extra. And it's really, I know it's archaic, it's old-fashioned, but it's a great place to start if you haven't started. Mackenzie, my daughter, loves it. She's in Santa Barbara. She goes, Dad, I need my envelopes. I go, oh, you just make your own up there. Go buy some and write your things in them. And she saves, and she puts the money in every envelope. When she babysits and earns $25, she puts the money in for Jesus, $2.50. I always tell her to round up, make it three. You can't go wrong giving to Jesus. And anyway, so just remember that. The fourth one is if that's a bad word in your family, just go 10, 10, 80. And many of you heard this. You save 10%. You give 10% away, and you live however you want on the 80%. So if the envelopes are too confining for you, you can try it this way. But at the end of the month, you're going to probably be short if you spend when it all comes in at the beginning. So anyway, but that's just another way to say, you know what, I can't manage all these envelopes and every little thing I spend. Just give me the big chunk. So, and this will discipline you so when something needs to get repaired or fixed, you have the savings. And then finally, the last one is talk with somebody. Folks, we really need to break that stereotype and that bubble when it comes to our finances. You got to have somebody you talk to about the real issues in your life. And finances, hey, we're all headed toward that age of retirement, sooner or later. And none of us want to be controlled every step we take, everything we buy, by money. And so until we create some breathing room, it won't happen. And most of us need another perspective to look at that. Now, my heart's desire is to have hosted here a financial course. Dave Ramsey does it. I've been through it a couple times. Mackenzie's been through it. I just need a facilitator to do that. And so I would love to host. We'll give you the DVDs. You don't have to know it all. You just have to welcome the people. How was your week? You know, blah, blah, blah. And let's watch what Dave has to say. And then there's some interaction in some smaller groups. So that's even a part of the talking with somebody. But if you're struggling, chances are, according to these statistics, several of you probably are, here are some basic steps that maybe help you get on track a little bit before the downfall of the holidays hit us financially. So I do think when we're thinking about giving, you know, thinking about money, most of us can relate to this prayer from this classic movie.
Death. Oh, dear Lord. You made many, many poor people. I realize, of course, it's no shame to be poor. But it's no great honor either. Ah. So what would have been so terrible if I had a small fortune?
If I were a rich man, yabba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dum, all day long I bidi-bidi-bum, if I were a wealthy man.
Now, you can say amen to that, because I'm sure you've somewhere that's been a part of your mind. Lord, if only a little bit more, you know. But that's if I were a rich man. And I think in our culture, we are blessed in the United States, but it's very easy for us to think we're poor. But if you look and read, at least what I've read, it says if you've earned $48,000 a year, you are considered in the top 1% of wage earners in the world. And so for many of us, we are rich. The top 1% of wage earners in the world. And so if I were a rich man, I really am. I just need to learn how to spend it properly, how to manage the resources that God has given me so those resources don't manage me. Take a look in your Bibles at 1 Timothy 6, 17 to 18. It's on page 831 in your Bibles. First Timothy 6, 17 and 18. This switching to a new Bible will be different for me, because you get used to your own Bible at times and where things are, so I've really got to focus in on what I'm reading and looking at here. So again, chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. Let's take that back. Verses 17 and 18. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our own enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Folks, really, this is applying to you and me. This isn't for the people over in Malibu or whatever cities around here that live on the ocean front that have the enormous homes that when you drive by, you're just going, oh, I don't want to even see the taxes there. But anyway, it isn't just for those people, but it's really for each of us. You know, that we focus in and that we are not arrogant with what we have, that we don't put our hope into the almighty dollar, but that our hope is in God. So we're commanded to make a difference. And so just remember that as we go through, it's easy at times to think, oh, poor me. And I know for some of you that may be the situation, that because of life and whether it was events that happened to you or choices you've made, things are not well financially. But it doesn't mean you have to stay there, and it doesn't mean that we as a church can't surround you and help you take one step at a time. Now, we're not going to pay off your bad debt, but we can help you one step at a time, even if it's as simple as providing food, so that will help you to get out of debt, so that can help you to give like you would like to give. And then last week, folks, I talked from Philippians 4, 17, and as I was preparing, I thought, I don't think I ever finished my thought on that verse, which probably isn't the first time I've done that. But again, on page 820 in your Bible, Philippians 4, 17. 4, 17 tells us, not that I desire your gifts, what I desire is that more be credited to your account. Again, this is Paul in prison. The church finally gave him some money. He really didn't need it. And he is saying, not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. That's not an IRA account. That's not a savings account at First Jerusalem. That account is into them as a person, as an individual. That account is their character. That account is their way that they are following Jesus. And so Paul is saying, your giving really helps you to grow. And Paul, again, he didn't have a carpeting project that they were giving to. They just gave. His needs were met at that time, and they were giving out of obedience. They were giving out of their love for Jesus. They just gave. And what does that do for us? That just releases us, releases the money from holding our heart captive to where that's the only thing that we are thinking about. And again, let me just say here that the whole subject of money and stewardship, depending on who you are, is really probably either you're thinking, yeah, I've heard it all before, and we're in a season of Thanksgiving, a season of remembering, and I have just found it's good. And then when I went through all this stuff again, it's just good to remember that everything I have belongs to God, that money should not control me. I went to look at a home this week. Someone said there was a home for sale. I went to look at it, and I could feel myself going, oh, this is nice. Oh, this is nice. Oh, this is new. And all of a sudden, the home was like, woo, way up there. It's just like, you know what? I don't need that. I'm really okay renting right now and enjoying life a little more stress-free. But I just know how easy it is to all of a sudden want and own and take life to the next level. And I think as we enter, I'm convinced as we enter into our Thanksgiving and the Christmas season of spend, want, consume, we need to remember that God loves us no matter how little we have or how much we have. Your family members will love you no matter what you give them or what you don't give them. You know, let me just say, I think that as we give, as our heart, our mind, and our actions, stewardship, those three items, those three areas, time, talent, and treasures, as those come together, that we do develop a generous heart. And so I just want to, again, wrap it up with this. And as reminders, when we talk about being generous, that can happen with a little or a lot. When Mackenzie was little, her heart would be tugged toward giving towards some things at church. And so she'd go in and grab her envelopes, not just the Jesus one, but the other ones, and start to clear those out. It's like, what? I'm thinking, no, you got a budget, this is for Jesus, you've set this aside. And she's like, well, there's a need, Dad. And ultimately, you know what? She knew no matter how much she gave, her dad has her covered. And then some. And that should be with us. No matter how much we give, we need to know that our Heavenly Father has us covered. He is going to meet our needs, probably well beyond what we can even imagine. As I think of generosity, I think it's important for us to recognize again, as I just shared, it's a verse from Psalm 24, that everything we have belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. That really sums it all up. And again, we can get so caught up with it's my job, my promotion, my bonus check, my car, me, that we forget everything comes from God. Until you've been on the other end of the spectrum and you don't have food to serve your family, you don't have money to pay the rent, and then you realize, give us this day our daily bread. It takes on a whole new meaning. But we can never outgive God. It really all belongs to Him. In our generosity, what we give is really a privilege. So I don't want people to feel obligated, obliged to give because you're thinking, oh, since I love Jesus, I have to do this. God doesn't really want you to give out of those motives. But really, it is an act of worship. As we've said, when we receive your offering, we don't take your offering. We receive your offering. It's a part of our worship experience to give. And so you may be giving for several reasons, but to know that as you give, you're partnering with God, which is really the third point, is that our generosity lets the world know that Jesus is alive. Again, people need to know when they drive past here that New Life is a great church. They're doing incredible things for the community. They're wonderful people. And whether we like it or not, most of that's going to come from what we do outside of our church. Most of that's going to come from how we help those in need. Most of that's going to happen as we impact our community in some different ways. And so really, your giving is a way of partnering with God to change the world. Partnering with God to change our city. And to me, that's exciting. It isn't just paying your dues. We're not an HOA that we're charging you a certain amount. You're not just paying for your seat. But it is, our giving is a way of saying, okay, I'm partnering with God to do something special here. And let me just wrap it up with, and how does that happen? Your giving happens in so many different ways. As you give, you're impacting the lives of even the little kids who are being rocked over there in the nursery. Your giving is helping to repair the facility. It's for plumbing. It's for electrical work. It's for helping install some new volleyball poles for the students. Because why? Because that makes a difference in their lives. Your giving is helping to teach the children, which many of you are going to be doing right after this. Your giving allows for Ryan to be upstairs with the students, and he's teaching them right now about stewardship. So it's just not an adult thing. Your giving provides that space, that opportunity. It provides the space and the opportunity for our young adults and to help create a program. So once you're out of high school or college, you just don't fall off the face of the earth, but there's a place, a safe place to come back, ask questions, and discover more about your relationship with Jesus. It's helping our senior adults to finish well in life and to finish with purpose so that they know retirement doesn't mean they've been set out the pasture, but it means they got a lot of living left to do. And so your giving helps to make that happen. Your giving helps to resolve conflict in the city and to restore marriages and to give hope to people who needs it. And so when you give, don't look at it as just, here's what I have to do again. But you're partnering with the God of creation, God Almighty, to impact our world with the good news of Jesus. Let us pray. Thank you, God, again, for the privilege of giving. And forgive us at times for claiming it's all about me. I don't forgive me, Lord, to be thinking, no, this is mine. I've earned it. I've already gave at the office, so to speak. But help each of us, God, to continue to lean on you, to figure out this thing with money and stuff so that we can use it to bless others rather than using it to control us, having it to control us. And so as we continue to worship this morning, may you be glorified. Amen.